Lord God, we thank you for Tony. We thank you for the way he's risen up to this role of ministering in this church. We ask you to minister to us now through him. So we pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive the word. And we ask your blessing on Tony. Amen.
Thanks, Harvey. Thanks, Harvey. Morning, Crossways. How's everyone today? Is everyone well? Yeah, I also would like to welcome the visitors and a special shout out to somebody who works very closely with me. It's Christine and her husband Brian. And Christine is currently working as my PA at work, and she's a real lady of the faith. She brings such encouragement into that space. So Christine, welcome here, and Brian, lovely to have you. And so, I think we need to celebrate. We've got so many reasons to celebrate today, but another reason to celebrate is that we're coming to the end of our series called Taking Ground. It's been 13 weeks, so will you all just give yourselves a pat on the back? Come on, it's exercise time. I'm an exercise scientist. Give yourselves a pat, even if you're a visitor. And we're going to do jazz hands for Jesus. No jazz hands. Yay for Jesus. Jazz hands for Jesus. Because it is the end of a 13-week series, and it's been an awesome, awesome 13 weeks of looking at the topic of taking ground. And we've learned so much about what it means to take ground in our Christian walk over this time. We've learned that our faith is not a static faith. We're not called to a static faith. We're called to really advance in our walk as Christians. We're called to get nearer to Jesus day by day, to develop a deeper love for him and to know him more and more. In Hebrews 6:1, it talks about us growing in maturity, not settling for immaturity in our faith. We're called to a mature faith. We're called to work out our salvation. It's not to stop, I'm saved, and then that's it. No, Jesus calls us to work out. What is this salvation? What does this mean to be saved? What does it mean to serve Jesus? What are my spiritual gifts? Once you've given your life to God, you're imparted with very, very special gifts. Each of you has got very special gifts which he's given you to exercise for his glory and for taking ground in the community around you and in your own life. What are those gifts? Our call is to actually find out what those are. In 2 Timothy 1:6 it says, fan into flame. I love that picture. Fan into flame. I get a picture of somebody with a mat or something like next to the fire, and one of those blower things, eh? Fan into, what are they called? A bellow, yeah. So I should have brought one. Bellow into flame the gifts of God. That's what we're called to do. So let the Holy Spirit breathe into those gifts that you can exercise them. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it talks about us moving from glory to glory as God transforms us to be more like him. Now that to me talks of an active faith. It's a taking ground faith. We're called to take ground in our lives and around us. And not least of all in our community together as a body. So we've said before that this church has got a special mission. God has given us a special mission to touch the lives of people outside in this community. And this church, the people who are visitors, God is working in this church. And I'd like you to know that. We have spiritual gifts working here, and people's lives are being changed here because God is working here. And an example of that is Hope Counseling. And Cindy over here is going into that. I don't know whether I should say something now. Should I say something? Cindy? Cindy is going to take ground for Jesus in this community through the backing of this church because she is going into Hope Counseling full time. She's resigning from her job. So let's give her a big round of applause. Cindy, do you want to just say something quickly about that? Are you sure? Okay. I didn't want to put you on the spot, but I just felt, and we're just so pleased for you, and we're just so pleased for this church, that through the backing of this church, he has an instrument, somebody who's found their spiritual gifts, and we're going to make a big impact in this community through Cindy. So bless you, Cindy, and well done for being faithful to God's calling. Well done to you. You're an example to us. What's also been cool about this series is that we've learned a lot about Scripture. Hey, we've been walking with the Israelites since they were in Egypt. Hey, we've learned a lot about them, and it feels like we've almost been a part of them. Hey, would you say? If you've been here throughout the whole series, it feels like we've kind of journeyed with them. We were in Egypt with them, and then crossing the Red Sea, into the wanderings, got to the Jordan River, and Jordan stopped the river, God stopped the river, and they crossed, and they built a memorial in the river. All those beautiful stories. It feels like we've been journeying with them. And what we've learned about Scripture is, it is historical fact. What's been awesome is that in some of the stories, like the story of Rahab and the story of Jericho, archaeology shows us it's factual. People will tell you that the Bible is fantasy. It's not fantasy. It is factual, and archaeology backs it up. Our God is a God of history. Our God is present in the stories. He all the things he did and what he has said to have done, he did. And it's proven. Which is really great that we've learned about that. I think our faith has been bolstered by that. What we've also learned about Scripture is that Scripture is actually has a bigger narrative running through it. It's a big narrative. So when you look at one story, like the story of the Israelites, you're seeing a story, a very special story, a narrative of God's salvation, the salvation plan. And what's so amazing, it's something maybe new that we can learn today. There's this thing called plot. It's the plot of the story in the Bible. And the plot of the story, there's a plot in each of those stories. So it's the story of the Israelites. If you go to the Kings and you look at the story of King David or Solomon. If you go to the Judges and look at Deborah or Gideon, we see that there's a plot in the story. And actually, when you put all the pieces of the puzzle together, you get a big narrative, God's story running through. And it's a story of his love for you. It's a story of his undying love for you. And at the center of every single story, everyone is Jesus. It's Jesus. And so we've learned that even through this series, is that Jesus is central. Isn't that amazing when we see Scripture? The last thing we've learned about Scripture as we've gone through the series is that Scripture is living, God's living, breathing Word, which means it's powerful now. And actually, God speaks through Scripture right to you, right now. And if you're willing to hear God's voice, he will speak to you today through his Scripture. And so let's be attentive to what he has to say today. This is not a long sermon because we do have the baptisms coming up and we're looking forward to those. But we've, like, as I said, we've got right to the end of Joshua. And we'll be looking at Joshua 24 and referring back to Joshua 23. Just if you would like to, I think it's... good if you want to, and as I said, the series has been amazing. The various people who've come and preached have done a wonderful job. And so what you can do is go onto our website, Crossways website, and you can download any of those podcasts. I'd encourage you to do that. There's been some amazing sermons. So we're looking at the end of Joshua, and I'm going to give you some context. You might want to turn to the end of Joshua, to Joshua 24. While you're doing that, we're just going to think about where we've got to in the story. So what's happened up to this point is that the Israelites who were called by God to take the ground, to take the whole of Canaan, have now done that. They have dominion over the entire land. They've conquered every nation, every tribe. They pretty much now are living in peace. No one dared take them on. They were a military superpower, but more than that, they had God on their side. And so God had now already given them peace. They pretty much, as I said, conquered everything. There was nothing really left to fight for. They had got to that point. And so their own passion for finishing the job was not quite there. We saw last week that already the half tribe of Manasseh, the Gibeonites and the Reubenites, who were on the eastern side, for those who have been with us through the series, who'd been promised land on the eastern side of the Jordan, we know that they'd already gone home, which really gives us an indication of where they were as a nation. The fact that they had been were now so dominant and so victorious. But in Joshua 23, what we learn is that whilst they were, had come into this place of peace, what they hadn't done is they hadn't finished the job. And the job was to, in fact, wipe out all of the tribes and the nations that were prevalent in the land, to remove them from the land, and to cleanse the land of them. You'll remember some time ago, some weeks ago, we spoke about that. This is not an ethnic cleansing. This is about sin and the fact that God wanted them to have, and it's symbolic of our own lives as Christians. God can't stand the fact that there is sin. In fact, He is such a good God and such a just God, He can't live with sin. And so what these tribes really represented, because they were maniacal, they were diabolical, practicing like child sacrifice and those types of things, was that God could not stand that. And so his call to them, his asking them to do that was really to wipe out the sin. And it's the same for us. God is calling us to turn away from sin, to wipe it clean away, and to turn to Him. So to give you some context of where we are. And so what happens in chapter 23 is Joshua then is now coming to the end of his life. And so he calls all of the Israelites. He says, come around. I want to talk to you. And he calls all the leaders who will then be the messengers back into the tribes. In verse 1, he calls them together because he wants to give them like a last message. His last message before he dies. Similar to Moses, in fact. And so he calls them together and he says to them, God has given you this whole land. He's been the one who's gone before you. He's the one who's helped you to conquer the land. It's been through His hand that he's done that. And He says to them, and God will help you to continue to take ground. So God will still help you to continue to take the ground if you honor Him. Because up to now you've done exactly that. You've honored Him, you've followed Him, and He's given you all of these victories. But there's a but. But make sure that you do not fall into the trap of intermarrying with the remnants of those tribes and idolizing their gods, worshipping idols. Don't do that. Because if you compromise, it's going to lead to disaster. And so Joshua's call to them is cling on to God, keep going, keep taking ground, God will do it for you, He's done it up to now, don't compromise. And so for us, as we've learned about what it means to take ground, and we've learned so many stories, like taking ground requires us to do it in community, taking ground requires faith, taking ground requires courage, all those beautiful sermons that we listen to, what God is saying is be careful now not to compromise. And church, we live in a time of compromise, where compromise is accepted, where compromise is almost good. That there's no absolute truth. Your truth is your truth. It's postmodernist garbage. About there's no absolute truth. It's your truth that matters. And that's fine. Compromise will lead to disaster in our Christian walk. And compromise is really taking a stance or moving away from a stance of where you were. So it might be compromising. It might be compromising on a commitment. Maybe compromising on just being a regular attender of church. I don't know. It might be compromising with the way that you deal with people, and might be compromising with sin. And so Joshua calls him and he says, don't compromise. You've taken all this ground. God is with you. You're going to take more ground. If you compromise, it's going to lead to disaster. Don't do that. That's Joshua's message. But here is where it gets really interesting. Okay. And it's just two kind of main points that will come out of this last section. Here's where it gets really interesting. Because the story in chapter 23 is Joshua calling all the Israelites to give him this message. And then, in chapter 24, he calls them all again to give them a message. Again. It's a bit strange. He's called them, and it's like they've either had a recess, maybe they need a tea break, or going around out in the fields or something, I don't know. The commentators think, some commentators will say that actually it was just one meeting. But it does seem peculiar that they have a meeting and then they have another meeting. Right at the end of Joshua's life. What I venture to guess is that there are two separate messages for this exact reason. And you'll see in chapter 24, if you'll just turn to chapters 24. Verse 2. Oh, in fact, 1 and 2. Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders and heads and judges and officers of Israel. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, and this is the important part, and Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel. Before, it says, and Joshua said to the people. This time, it says, and thus says God to the people. Joshua's message to the people was, don't compromise. What is God's message to the people? God knew the state of the people's hearts. He knew that saying, just don't compromise, was not going to hack it. It wasn't going to be enough. So there had to be a deeper message. And so we continue. Let's read together 2 verse 15, and then we'll finish the message from there. So what does God say to the people? Long ago, your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates, Terah, the father of Abraham, and Nahor, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offspring many. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau, and I gave Esau the hill country of Seir to possess. But Jacob and his children went down to Egypt, and I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt with what I did in the midst of it, and afterwards I brought you out. Then I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. And when they cried to the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and made the sea come upon them and cover them. And your eyes saw what I did in Egypt, and you lived in the wilderness a long time. Then I brought you in the land of the Amorites, who lived on the other side of the Jordan, and they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, and you took possession of the land, and I destroyed them before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, the king of Moab, rose and fought against Israel, and he sent and invited Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not listen to Balaam. Indeed, he blessed you, so I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over the Jordan and came to Jericho, and the leaders of Jericho fought against you, and also the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Gershagites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I gave them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, and drove them out before you, the two kings of the Amorites. It is not by your sword or by your bow. I gave you a land on which you had not labored, and cities that you had not built, and you dwell in them. You eat the fruit of vineyards and olive orchards that you did not plant. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in which the land you now dwell. But as for me and my home, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Amen. And so God's message to his people, Joshua has his own, don't compromise. God goes much deeper. He says, choose. He says, choose. You see, church, we will choose before we will compromise. And God knows that. Your actions will be a consequence of your choice. Your actions are a consequence of your choice. And here's the beautiful thing about this whole thing, is that that whole passage starts, the whole passage starts with the Lord saying, this is who I am. This is who I am. Look at what I've done with you. And essentially what he's saying is to them is, I've got a story with you. I've got a beautiful story with you. And what's amazing about that section as well, it didn't once mention the Israelites' wanderings, unfaithfulness, any of that. It's as though God like wipes that clean. He only mentions the good stuff. Because that's the God he is. He's a God of kindness. He's a God of faithfulness. And he's a God of relationship. And that's what he wants with his people. That's what he wants from his people. Last week, Heather brought a prophecy, and I brought some books. Hopefully, it'll help. Well, illustration. Here's some books. Various books. And these are actually my journals, some journals. And so when I open these journals, they have a whole lot of writing in them. It's writing, it's these are stories of me and God. Times of scriptures that I've read and prayers, hard times. And so they're all filled with these things. So I have a story with God. All these books are filled with these things. And Heather brought a scripture, prophecy last week. And it was a picture of a boy. And he was sitting in an attic. And the sun was shining through. And this little boy was looking through the pages of a book. And the book was a story of somebody's life. And the book was filled with writing. Some of it was filled with writing. But there were empty pages too. Maybe there were pages still to be written. But some of it was perhaps pages that had not been written well. Heather, do you want to just mention something?
That's right. I just saw a picture of an attic with a child sitting, the light pouring down, and he discovered this pile of books and was sitting in a comfy chair paging through the books, and that the books were not storybooks. They were a story of someone's life, and that the child could read all about this person's journey with the Lord. In other words, Jesus was on every page. This person's life just spoke of Jesus. And then there were empty pages at the end of the book that hadn't been written. And so there was the caution to, you know, you don't know when your life's going to be cut short. You don't know when that day will come. And so fill the pages that you do have with stories of your walk with the Lord. And that anyone who was eventually to discover the story of your life and read or learn about your life would see Jesus in every page. That's the story you want to leave.
And here's the reality, is that I've got books that are actually got empty pages. And I've got books where actually they're in between the empty pages because I haven't written them, my story, very well. And the reality is God is calling us to a life well lived. And a life well lived is a life with God, not without Him. I've done lots of things in my life where actually, I think I'll look back one day, not with huge regrets, but what was the purpose of that, you know? It's actually wasted time. So when we do things with God, we do things with eternity, for eternity. We build something that is not perishable. Are you building a perishable life? That one day when it's tested, what will it look like? In Corinthians, I think it's in Corinthians, it talks about one day our work will be tested as going through a flame. And those who build with wood and straw, it's going to get burnt up. But if you built with precious stones, then that will last. Are we building with precious stones? Are we building with the cornerstone, Jesus? But that's what Jesus would want to do with you and me. Let's build well. Let's write a story with Jesus. That's His desire for us. So we're starting to close now. The whole passage begins with, who's this God? And the fact that He loves you so much. He's an amazing God. He's got so much in store for you. But then it comes down to this, where Joshua says, you can choose. If you see it evil to serve the Lord, then you would choose to serve the gods of the past, which is basically the gods of your fathers, the gods of the present, the people who are around you, the Amorites, or is it going to be God, Father God? And I guess we all have that choice, church. For some of us, having taken ground, even as Christians, we can slip back into the gods of our past, to the things that we might have served in the past. Or maybe there's people around us who will influence us badly. You need to remember, you are called to a higher purpose than to allow someone to drag you in through the mud. Okay? You are a child of the Most High God. You are not to be walked over. You're not to be trashed. And you're not to be pulled into darkness. You are called for a much higher purpose. You are precious. You are perfect. You have a big assignment in your life. You have an assignment that God has for you to do. You have a special assignment for God for you to do. Don't compromise by now, being pulled around by people who have no regard for God. Okay? And so it does come down to a choice. And today is a beautiful day to talk about that, because we've got four people who are choosing. And they are choosing to take ground for God. Isn't that amazing? Let's give them a big round of applause for that. And they are choosing what Joshua chose, which is this. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And that's what they have chosen. So I hope that is a blessing to you. And I'm just going to hand over to Dave for the rest. Thanks, Dave.